Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. We got some good stuff lined up for you in this half hour with our good friend Russell Brown. Russell is our business buying and selling expert. Heck, he's one of the world's experts on businesses, on buying and selling businesses. He's the author of Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business and Preparing Your Business for Sale. That's two different books. And the software program, BizPricer, which is an outstanding, fairly new program that he's got. Russell is one of the longest members, longest tenured members of our Brain Trust. He and I will be celebrating an 8th anniversary real soon. He's our good friend. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. I'm glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always.
I hear that I'm tenured.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that mean I can't be fired?
That means you can't be fired, and you're going to get a big raise. We're going to triple.
Oh, wow.
We're going to triple what we're paying you right now.
Wow.
Have you ever seen three zeros together?
Just thinking that.
But it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it, Russell? I know.
Well, at least it's my taxes won't go up.
That's exactly right. That's one way to look at it. Folks, as you know, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, you know that Russell is one of the guys that joins us every month to talk to us about this topic that he's the smartest at, and that's buying and selling a business. And he and I have put together a body of work that if you go to our archives, you'll see it going back. We've done it longer than the archives show, but I think at least back to 99, we've saved the archives back to that date. And so if you want to really get educated on buying and selling a business, if you go back and listen to some of those archives, I think you can do that. But don't go away, because we're going to talk about some stuff today that's really important. Russell, you and I have been covering some of the keys to success in buying a business, and some of the main things you need to look out for when you're doing the due diligence. And I think today we're down to talking about franchises and supplier rights.
That's right. Yeah, when especially if you're looking at buying an existing franchise. Now, a lot of people, when they think about franchises, they think about a new franchise and getting a new outlet somewhere in some hot field. But in reality, the biggest market is in the reselling or purchasing existing franchise businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to think about that. And because a lot of the best territories are taken for a lot of the good, solid, true, proven franchises, but you know, they go on the market, they get sold. The people that own them want to retire at some point. Occasionally, people have illnesses that they have no idea were coming. Divorces sometimes mess up other business ownership. So there are sometimes very, very good franchises on the market for sale, and might be a great opportunity to get in instead of starting off with a brand new one,
right,
especially if it's in the field you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially anytime you can buy a business where there are customers already coming in the door. Even if you believe that you could do a better job than the current owners, that's fine. But it's a big deal to have customers, to have a phone number that's established, to have a location that people know, and to have customers coming in the door and cash flow happening. Right, Russ?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing like it. It's you start off with a going business. And as long as you do no worse than the previous owner, then you can experience what he would have experienced with that business in the coming years.
Right.
And of course, if you can bring new energy, new capital, new excitement, new vision to that business, maybe you can do extremely better than what that operator was doing.
But there are two issues here that you point out in your book, Russell. And that is that when you're buying from from a non-franchise company, buying a non-franchise company, like, for example, if you're not buying a McDonald's or a something like that, so a Midas muffler shop or something like that, it's a non-franchise, it's Joe's whatever or Susan's whatever it might be, those people have access to products through their vendors that may be protected for that current owner that makes that relationship and that access valuable to the current owner. But Russell, that doesn't always extend to the next person who owns the company, does it?
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, that supplier may have a better opportunity selling. I've seen situations where they've had an opportunity to sell to a large chain, but they had to not sell to small ones.
And they're literally just sitting there waiting on somebody to die or retire, aren't they? Stand by, Russell. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to this issue when we come back after these messages, and also get into whether franchises can be transferred or not. Ponytail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you can, and subscribe to my free newsletter if you haven't already. If you've already subscribed, you don't have to do that again. It's free. Comes on Sunday by email, and don't forget the blog too. The blog comes Monday through Friday by Real Simple Syndication. That's the technology that you can find out more about at the blog, which is you can link to on the homepage, or you can go straight to it by going to jimsblog.biz. I hope you'll check it out because I think you'll like it. We're going to send you every day, every Monday through Friday, we're going to send you all four of the interviews that I do every day and an article, a new article every day. So check that out when you can. Russell Brown is our guest. He's all over our website, and he's got an outstanding website himself. Russell, give it to us, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
It's a great site, folks. It's where you can go to find out more about buying and selling a business, how to learn about the due diligence process that you need to know if you're going to make a successful investment. And they can find out more about your books there, too, can't they?
Not my books, and some selected other books from the field and other tools that that'll help them buy, sell, or determine the value for a business. And not everything's for sale. There's a lot of good free information and articles by respected people in the field. So.
And then get that BizPricer thing there too, can't they?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the software program, folks, that'll walk you through the whole due diligence process of buying and selling a business. It's probably the best resource for buying a business that you'll ever find. Russell, we're talking about territorial issues with regard to a business that you might buy regarding vendor relationships. For example, if you're in the supplier, if you're a supplier of a certain type of goods, like maybe electrical or factory types of products, maybe some kind of tools or something like that, then what these companies typically do, Russell, as you know, is they find one company. Each one of these manufacturers will find one company typically in a market, and they'll become that company's outlet for their products, and the people on the other side of town have to find another manufacturer.
Yep, that's true. And sometimes, to use a very contemporary example of some things, let's say that you've got a gaming video gaming store, rent and sell games and all of that. Well, what's the hottest thing going on right now is Xbox 360.
Right.
And there's a limited supply. So if you're not a preferred outlet for the suppliers of Xbox 360 and you don't get them, then, that's going to put a big hurting on your Christmas sales.
Right.
And so these are the kind of things. And there's a relationship that's built up between that video gaming company or business, small business, and the suppliers that provide those these new hot new products that are coming out. And of course, remember the iPod.
Right.
Still probably the hottest product in the country.
So if you're trying to buy a business, and this is one of the selling features that they're trying to give you, where they're saying this is the reason why we have the price that we do on our business, because there's value in these relationships. Well, you got to be asking, well, explain to me how you know that I can that relationship with that vendor, with that manufacturer, will accrue to me.
Yes, that's absolutely right. You have to, if you're buying the business on that basis or valuing it on that basis, then you've got to have some assurance that will continue after the sale of the business and to a new owner. And there may be some written agreements, there may not be. But this is something you need to look into, and that really will go into being a big risk factor in the ability of that business to continue to generate the sales and profits that you may be looking at.
And if it's a product that's really desirable and you're buying a business, well, you know, there's a chance, Russell, that the business that you're buying maybe has been going a little bit downhill with sales volume, with if the folks are retiring or they've been sick or they've lost interest or whatever. And there may be somebody across town that's trying to get that vendor to jump ship. And that, believe it or not, that vendor's going to have more of a relationship with this than they do with a brand new owner like you. And so they may literally be waiting on the business to change hands to have an excuse to go somewhere else.
Yes, and so what you're going to need to do is understand those kind of things and get things in writing from the suppliers as well as the owner of the business as to
right. What
will happen after the transfer of a business. You need to get these kind of things pinned down. You can't just assume that after you buy that business, that you're going to continue to be able to sell those iPods or Xbox 360s.
But it's a little bit of a sticky wicket, isn't it, Russell, because the owners, the sellers, always try to guard the fact that the business is for sale until the last minute.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that is a very sticky wicket, probably beyond this phone, this telephone interview, and as to how to go about doing all of that. But there is a lot of sensitivity that you have to apply when you just don't want to approach the distributor and say, "Hey, Joe's got his business for sale. I'm thinking of buying it. And what's the what kind of deal am I going to have after the sale?" I mean,
right.
You can't, that's probably not the right way to do it. So more discreet inquiry is probably dictated there.
Well, this is very similar to the kinds of conversation you have to have with a seller when we're talking about going to any vendors that they have, but also dealing with employees, the key employees. How long do you wait to tell the key employees of what's going on? It's the same kind of a situation. When we come back, I'm going to get Russell to talk to us about franchises. If the company has a franchise, what do you do about that? How do you make sure that accrues to the new owner? And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our guest. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our guest. Russell, give us your website again, please.
www.businessbookpress.com.
It's a good one, too, folks. I hope you check it out. If you're buying a business, if you think you're going to sell your business, you need to know what the other party is going to be looking at. You need to be prepared so that you're not caught with, in the unaware, so to speak. And so whether you're buying or selling a business, you need to know what Russell knows. And you can do that by going to his website, businessbookpress.com, by checking out his books, and certainly by getting the BizPricer. And they can order that. They can download that, can't they?
Yep. Almost everything I have is downloadable. Or, of course, you can still get get it on CD-ROM and paper copies.
Absolutely. So check that out when you get a chance, folks. Russell, let's move over and talk about a true franchise. Now, there are really two kinds of franchises. One is a company that is a self-supporting company, just an individual company like mine and yours, but they actually have bought a franchised brand to add to their product line. And it's a true franchise relationship but they just put it in. They just put it into the mix of my other stuff. That's one kind of franchise. The other kind is where my entire business is nothing but that franchise.
Yep, that's right.
Both of those may not endure, accrue to a subsequent buyer, though, right?
That's the most important point that you can make right there, because a lot of people just aren't don't understand that. A franchise is not a perpetual right to anything. A franchise has a time associated with it. And that is that's one of the biggest issues you need to look at in buying a company either is part of an existing franchise, either owns a franchise, or is the franchise, the whole business is the franchise. For example, I'll use a brand name, a Kentucky Fried Chicken. There is a life to that franchise opportunity. Now that can be transferred to a new owner, but all of the control on that, all the approval of that, is with the Kentucky Fried Chicken master organization. So if you own a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, you can transfer it to a new owner, whatever rights remain in that franchise, to a new owner with the approval. And it usually says things like not to unreasonably be withheld, and they'll have different criteria on finances and things of that nature. But there is it has to be approved by the head office, and there is a life. And I've been involved in the sale of franchises that, although they might have originally had a 25-year life, as they're going to sell the business, there might only be 2 or 3 years left on the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, Russell, the person who originally got that franchise went through, depending on the quality of the franchise, may have gone through almost a torturous a process of getting approved.
Yes.
And whoever comes behind them will have to go through this Senate, the same process, maybe even more scrutiny.
Absolutely. But you know what? This is good. This is a good thing. Because what this does is it helps to ensure that you get a qualified individual in that owns the business, is going to run the business, that is qualified both in finances and in technical ability or management ability to be able to run the business, and so that you don't have failing franchises, because there's nothing worse than that to kill an operation.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody else. You know, so this is a good thing. But what you need to do is you need to understand that if you're going to buy that existing franchise operation, or you're going to buy a business, I was just thinking of the iPod example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are computer stores that provide computer service for all different kinds of computers and that. And if they have, but they're going to need an Apple franchise to be able to sell Apple products,
right,
which include the iPod. So if they have that, again, that's a franchise, but isn't the whole business, but it's part of the business.
Yeah.
And so you need to look into the ability to for that franchise to transfer with a new owner, how much time will be left on that franchise right, and what will be the terms and conditions of extending that and having a new franchise agreement for a new term be accrued to yourself.
Russell, I gotta wrap it up. Thank you for being here today. As always, thanks for everything, and Merry Christmas.
All right, thank you. Same to you.
Merry Christmas. And Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back next month, in fact. We'll be celebrating an anniversary pretty soon. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.